All right, guys, going to tell you about Carbach Brewing. We're, of course, happy to have Carbach on, especially because it's summertime. And that means that you want something crisp. You want something refreshing to drink in the summertime. You want to be weighed down with some heavy beer. But you also want a beer that's flavorful. Carbach's got a handful of great summer beers. Staycation is fantastic. Weekend Warrior might be my favorite of the bunch. No matter what kind of day you're having, you're one day closer to the weekend, guys. Today, it's about to be the weekend. And it's time to grab a six-pack of Weekend Warrior Pale Ale. It's got soft caramel malt flavors, met by bright citrusy hop bitterness and aromatics. Provides a nice balance to that pale ale, and it gives hopheads just what they're desiring. So when you're out there mowing the lawn this weekend or you know, working outside, if you, God forbid, you got to, maybe you're out on the lake or the river, grab some Weekend Warrior, take it with you. Love Street, another great one. The ladies love Love Street for some reason. That's the chicks dig that beer. It's very light, very refreshing, very crisp, and an excellent Kolsch. Whatever you choose, pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or tell your bartender, make it a Carbach, please.
The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Mandalay Bay Arena in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward Sergey Kovalev 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like. You can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, you missed Jim Lampley, very outspoken about Conor McGregor. And a lot of sports and stuff kind of stuff. It's just a good hour.
Yeah.
Sorry you missed it, but you can catch it on podcastarena.com. We're going to have Roy Jones here at 5:15 and then RJ Bell at 5:30.
Yep. Staying busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just rolling right along. And at some point, we have Rudy Gay, who's a free agent. He opted out with the Sacramento Kings. And he had some interesting stuff to say about Sacramento.
I'm sure.
I think he wanted to say a lot more, and
he's being respectful.
And you got to be kind of smart because
What
if you don't get a bunch of offers and the Kings come back with an even better offer and that's where you wind up? You don't want to say it's a dysfunctional place, but he did kind of all but say that when I asked him about it. JOff288 says, have you talked about the most important thing in the world yet? Top PR staff.
Oh, the Roselle Award.
Ravens and Texans share the Roselle Award.
I mean, what a great deal.
All right, Jong, I'll ask you, because you deal with the Texans PR staff. Do you really believe they're the top PR staff or co-top PR staff in the NFL?
Hell no.
And if they are, what does that say about everybody else?
It must be really bad.
Okay. I know you deal with them more than I do, but I don't know how on earth you give those guys an award.
They're the worst.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you didn't vote for them, I'm guessing.
Nope.
Did you have a vote?
No, I did not.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, well, I don't know whose thing they thinged, but congratulations.
Bleep, they've got a bleep to get a bleep around here.
Exactly, exactly. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And who was it? James asked, why would CP3 have any interest in the Rockets? And the report is he would talk to the Spurs, Rockets, and Nuggets in free agency.
And the Clippers.
And the Clippers. If he leaves.
Right.
Which I still would be surprised if he left. But
I don't know. So I think it's weirder that Denver's on that list than Houston.
Unless he likes to smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah, but it's not like you can. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the
you get
the,
that Wizinator, you're fine.
Yeah, but you know, CP3 at this point, if he's leaving the Clippers, it's because he doesn't think they can win a championship there. Which he might be right, by the way.
Yeah,
probably is right.
I think he is right.
But if you are, if you're leaving where you're at, you're going to take less money somewhere else to win a championship. Denver seems the odd choice.
Yeah,
San Antonio makes sense. You know, that's a
be a great replacement for Tony Parker.
They're probably the number three. You know,
I think they are the number three team in the league.
Right. So you feel like if you're there, I think everybody outside of Oakland has an outside shot. But if you're in San Antonio, you've at least got a puncher's chance.
Right.
And a Chris Paul, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard combo, I mean, that looks pretty good on paper.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and you've got the best coach in the league. That you could maybe do some damage there. But the Nuggets, that confused me. And then the Rockets, to a lesser extent, confused me. But, you know, I think he's going to go out. He's going to see where he feels like he's a good fit. I think he's going to talk to these coaches, see how they want to use him, and make a decision from there.
I think in D'Antoni's offense, he probably put up some ridiculous numbers.
Sure he would.
But that would cut into James Harden's numbers. How would those two work together? Those are both guys that have to dominate the ball. And I think it would help Harden because Paul is one of the best passers in the league and would get him a lot of open looks. But I don't know if Harden would be as effective not dominating the ball.
I'm almost certain he would not, because that's what you've seen of him, is he's most effective when he dominates the ball.
And I just don't know if that would – I just don't think it would work.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't – I don't think it makes you a title contender. I think the – and we've said this before. I don't know if there's a player out there that makes you a title contender not named LeBron. But it makes them better, but I don't even know if it's it changes them enough.
Does it put them ahead of the Spurs?
I don't know that it does. And I know it sounds silly. You add a great player, you should improve. But I just, from a fit standpoint, I don't know that it makes him better.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're not better off leaving Harden at the point and trying to get a stud at another position.
Well, I don't know what the answer is for that team, and I understand they're going to be.
They got something up their sleeve.
They got to make something happen.
They got
though.
Something up their sleeve, according
That's
to Daryl
Morey. Right. So. I know they got to make something happen, and if they feel like Chris Paul gives them the best chance. What I will say is if Chris Paul comes, maybe then you're looking at some players who would take less money to come play with a James Harden, Chris Paul team.
Yeah.
But I just don't know.
I'm surprised to see him on that list. Other than maybe he looks at what D'Antoni does with point guards and says, oh, man, look at the numbers I could put up. And, you know, which, hey, maybe that's your motivation.
Maybe
I don't
so.
Know. You never know what a guy's motivation is. Speaking of motivation, remember the story that came out that when Michael Phelps was working out as much as he was to get ready for the Olympics, that he was on a 12,000 calorie day diet?
It's impossible. I still believe.
Yeah. Well, he says it's ridiculous. He says, don't believe everything you read. Those stories were ridiculous. But at my peak, it wasn't that far off. 8,000 to 10,000 calories.
That's still a lot.
Yeah. So it's not like there's a huge difference between 10 and 12. But wow. And so for the wind, a little breakdown of what cyclists eat to ingest 8,000 calories. And it's crazy. Like 22 eggs for breakfast.
Jeez.
I know, granted, these guys are athletes in ridiculous shape, but apparently it's the equivalent of 25 cheeseburgers in a single day.
Oh boy, remember that guy we could probably talk to RJ about it, the guy who made that McDonald's bet, $1,000 worth of McDonald's in one day.
I'm
pretty sure he didn't even come close.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he didn't. But apparently there is an over-under on when you're going to belch on today's show. They were hoping it would be during Lampley.
Sorry, guys. I didn't even have coffee today. I've had no energy drinks. And I just had a bag of chips, which was my first food of the day. So belching unlikely on today's program, I think.
Yeah, never know. All right, we are going to take a...
If you want, I can chug a Pepsi and let one loose on Roy Jones.
They've got money on you, so I'd prefer you not do it when Roy Jones is here.
Okay.
But, all right, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, Roy Jones Jr. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Mandalay Bay Arena in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward Sergey Kovalev 2. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. And the weigh-in is going on right now. And we're supposed to have Roy Jones, but maybe he's over at the weigh-in, which is right.
Well, I think we're going to have him over here in a minute.
Okay, which is right next to us, actually. If you just walk outside.
Oh,
it's right over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A whole bunch of people came through here earlier. And so when it's over, you're going to see a herd of
cattle. A swarm. All right.
A herd of cattle. Is that offensive to people to call them cattle?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Just checking. A swarm would be better. All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter. And this story that Lamont just tweeted at us says 5 years ago this would seem bizarre. 2017, not a big deal. Seems normal. Ex-politician admits he fondled 103-year-old mother-in-law's breasts.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Who would want to do that? 103 years old. I mean, what are you trying to do? Figure out how saggy they are?
I mean, was it like as a joke or was it sexual?
Well, I don't know. He just... Yeah, I'm trying to get the story up here, which... God, these websites now, man. I wish they wouldn't freaking put so much crap on him. But he has been convicted of indecent assault after admitting he fondled the breasts of his 103-year-old mother-in-law.
Ugh.
And it's a New York Post story. So, apparently he admitted he was touching the woman's breast for shock value.
Okay. So, like, as a joke?
I guess. I mean, that's his defense.
And did she sue him?
No, but apparently he had a hearing Thursday. He said it was a stupid, harmless act. He goes, I mean, my reputation is destroyed. My business is destroyed. It was just something I shouldn't have done. He stepped down in 2015, admitted fondling his mother-in-law at a nursing home on two occasions in December, but denied making any sexual contact on a third occasion. Why did you do it the second time?
That's confusing. But, all right. But that's different strokes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he had cared for the woman since his first wife. The woman's daughter died in 2007. She lived with him for 8 years until she was placed in a nursing home, and she had dementia. This just keeps getting worse. He said, I wasn't sexually assaulting my mother-in-law, who I respect and love. My intent was to hug her and love her and let her know I was there. That's all I was doing. So grabbing her breast is the way you hug her.
That's what I do. To every woman I say hello to.
Okay. Well, you might be careful with that. Okay. Even a 103-year-old woman.
Are you telling me that's inappropriate?
Well, the courts told him it was inappropriate.
Okay.
Said, I got nothing, no recognition out of her, and I made the biggest mistake of my life. I thought for shock value, you know, I could get her to say something, let her know I was there. I touched her breast. It was the dumbest thing I ever did, but to her attention and let her know I was there.
So she was in a nursing home, but was she, like, awake?
No, she's got dementia, so that was his way of trying to get her attention, I guess. But you can't grab her arm if you're going to do that?
That seems like the more appropriate angle. Yeah.
But, wow. So, apparently the police chief testified that Spengler told him he already knew about the details of the allegations when he arrested him. He said, I know what this is about. This is about me rubbing the victim's breasts. I did it to get her going. Isn't that what you kind of do that for? So that's exactly what he said. I did it to get her going. He said, when I see her, I'll kiss her on the mouth. I'll rub her breast to make her feel good about herself. Sometimes she says no, but that's all it is.
Oh,
that's
boy.
All there is to it, something to that effect.
That's weird.
He will be sentenced on September 28, pending evaluations by psychologists.
All right, then.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's going to come back crazy. So, well, 713-780-ESPN.
Yeah, I guess
looks like we're – well, we're probably not going to have Roy because we've got RJ at 5:30.
Yeah.
Which he's locked in. So maybe
– And we're not going to bump RJ.
No, you can't bump RJ. Have we ever bumped RJ?
I don't think so. Maybe once.
Yeah. It had to be somebody pretty big.
Hey,
you did bump him once.
For who was it for?
I think it was after the Dallas shooting.
Oh, okay. That's the day Fred cried.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stop making fun of that. It was an emotional day.
There was an internet article about it, Fred.
I don't know anything about
You're
that.
Your hero to most.
No, I'm a terrible human being.
Jonesboro, Arkansas. There is a pretty massive problem going on with the courthouse. And this has apparently been going on for years. The number one issue at the Jonesboro, Arkansas courthouse, Craighead County, they are having a problem with people urinating in their elevator.
Oh, geez.
I'm not an elevator peer, but apparently there are people who are. And the restroom is about 25 feet from the elevator. Not the hardest thing to get to.
No.
And but apparently this has been going
now,
on.
How many floors? Like if this is a 100 floor thing.
No. Three.
Oh, yeah, that's inexcusable. All right, there he is.
You never pee in the elevator, do you?
Heck no.
Roy, people in Arkansas, apparently.
Why?
I don't know. They're too lazy.
They can't get to their bathroom in time?
I guess not. They've got a bunch of people peeing in the elevators.
They have bladders?
They've put in some cameras. They're hoping that will curtail it. But, yeah, these guys are – I don't know what's going on with these guys. Everybody can't hold it till they get out of the elevator.
Wow.
I'm glad to hear you're not an elevator pisser, though. That's good. What did you think, I guess, first of all, what did you think about the first fight between these two guys? Did you feel like they scored it properly?
No, I thought Kovalev got a one-point victory, or it could have been called a draw. And the reason being is because Kovalev dominated the first half of the fight, which I expected him to do. Andre dominated the second half of the fight, which I expected him to do. However, Kovalev got a knockdown in his time of dominance. Andre didn't. But what happens is, for a knockdown in boxing, you get 2 points. But coming back in boxing, on the scores card, you don't get no points. But in society, you do get points. So the judges were judging from a society standpoint more so than a scorecard standpoint. Because in society, we always love the comeback story. You understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah.
So they gave him more credit for the comeback story than they gave Kovalev for the knockdown, which in all actuality, that shouldn't happen because on the scorecards, a knockdown is 2 points.
Right.
It's coming back is no points. It's just that if you can come back, that's a good thing, but that's what we live for. That's what the Rocky movies are based on, comebacks. You feel me? Like LL say, don't call it a comeback. And he did come back from a knockdown. And they gave him 4 points for coming back, more points for coming back than they gave Kovalev for the knockdown.
Do you think that the rematch will be a similar fight? Do you think that there will be early Kovalev and late Ward?
No, it can't be similar because Ward already understands that to win it decisively, which is what he wants to do, he has to start earlier. Kovalev realized that to win it decisively, he started early last time, but he has to finish stronger. So we can't see the same fight. If we do, we're going to get the same outcome, which is going to be another controversial decision, no matter which way it goes. So we can't see the same fight again, and both of those fighters are aware of that.
Roy, we've been talking about what a great year this is in terms of matchups for boxing because, obviously, we're going to have Canelo, Golovkin, and then but the thing that's overshadowing it, Floyd coming back to fight Conor McGregor as a – and we've said – this I don't know that McGregor can match up. Heck, put him in the round
you
in the ring with you.
You know he can't match up. I mean,
I'm talking about. I don't even think he can match up with you.
He couldn't. I mean, come on. I mean, I've been doing this too long. There's no way I'm going to let a guy that only had amateur fights keep up with me. That's not going to happen. You feel me? So I understand the heart and the effort and the courage. I give him all kind of effort for all of that. But it's like he's Eve Knievel making a jump that he probably knows he can't make. But he's going to try it. And what he's supposed to do, that's what life is about. But that's why this is not a boxing match. This is more of an event. We paid to watch Eve Knievel jump because those were events. We didn't pay to watch Eve Knievel race because he wasn't a good racer. He was a great event maker. He did jumps and stuff that were events. That is not a boxing match. That's an event. The great fights are Kovalev versus Ward 2 and a Triple G versus Canelo. Those are great fights. The McGregor versus Mayweather is a great event. There's a difference.
But do you think that it hurts boxing to have it, in a way, I think it hurt boxing that it took so long to get Mayweather-Pacquiao done.
That might have hurt boxing.
And then this when they did fight,
it was a garbage.
I think it hurt boxing.
Yeah, but that ain't what hurt. That hurt boxing more than this ever could hurt boxing.
Why is that?
Because this ain't supposed to be all that spectacular in boxing.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a runaway. If this ain't a runaway, that'll shock the world. You understand me? So this is supposed to be a runaway. But that can't hurt boxing. The only thing this can do is if it's a shocker and it happens, then people going to demand it more because, or and it works out to be a good fight, people going to demand it more. But if it's a one-sided thing like they expect it to be, then it's not a shocker and it don't hurt. That's what we expected. It's just like if you put Floyd in an octagon with Conor, if Conor get past that first right hand coming in, it's over with Floyd.
Right.
Because Floyd has no wrestling technique. It's like me. So it's like he should. If Floyd get past that first left hand, Conor throws that.
Well, we've seen James Toney, Randy Couture. It's happened.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. So it should be the same thing, same way, vice versa.
Since the last time we talked to you, you won another fight. Are you going to keep fighting here?
Well, you know, let me go and explain to you since you asked. I do have a fight set for November 24th at the Westgate Hotel here in Las Vegas, Nevada with Prince Body Ajamu. I didn't want to fight the guy. The guy was a very strong guy last time I fought him. I beat him. I was happy with the win. Never want to see him again because he's such a strong guy, right? He called me and said, I want a rematch. Why? Well, it's not for the boxing purposes. I got another call. I said, well, what's the call? He said, do you realize that over 300,000 kids a year are abducted and sold in human trafficking? I said, no way. He said, yes. And I'm fighting because I want to raise money for that call. And he said, I have a couple of companies, big corporations, that are willing to match our 10% if we raise enough money to put in and give it to them. We have corporations that will come in and match our gift to help stop that. He said, because that very well could be your kid or my kid. I said, you are so right there. He said, so these kids need help. So we need to form an enterprise called God First Enterprises. We need to go ahead and just do this one fight, see how it goes. Just ride with me here. Let's do it one last time. See, you're not doing it for yourself, and I'm not doing it for myself. He said, we're doing it for these kids' reasons, to try to help save these kids, something that people are not even aware of. And I definitely wasn't aware that over 300,000 of them were taken on the human trafficking every year. So that made me say, how can I not do that? And trust you me, I don't want to fight this dude. This dude too strong. He's a big guy. He's way bigger than me. And he's too strong. And it's wild. Should I take that gamble? I already beat him one time. I'm happy with that.
He hasn't fought since 2009, though. He's going to be out of shape. You're going to bust him up.
Yeah, but he's so strong. You understand me? And I know, and he spars every day. I know the guy he spars with, so I know he's still been sparring.
Okay.
So he's still in shape. I know a kid he spars with all the time. So he's still in shape. I don't do all that. You understand me? So... But we'll see.
Well, that's a great cause, man. I'm glad you're doing that. All right, that's Roy Jones Jr. Roy, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for spending some time with us. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again, certainly for Canelo Golovkin.
Thank you guys for having me. I can't wait for that fight, too.
Oh, I can't either.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we've got to take a very quick break here. And RJ Bell will join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Mandalay Bay Arena in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward Sergey Kovalev 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas as we prepare for Ward Kovalev. Also in Las Vegas, not at the Mandalay Bay with us, our good friend RJ Bell, pregame.com.
I don't know why he's not here.
Yeah. Why aren't you here, RJ?
You know, I didn't know you guys. I'm actually going down for a 6:30 hit. So, well, listen, this is ISDN is like we're right there.
Might as well be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll text you. What's for dinner tonight?
Fred's on a diet. He's eating like a little girl.
Oh, listen, he was on a diet when he ate about 2 pounds of chicken last time, about a couple weeks ago. So let's all go crazy.
My dinner has not yet been determined, but it may be this pizza place that slice inside Mandalay shops.
Now, do you have a wallet chain?
I do not.
Hmm.
Why do you ask?
Well, when you got your wallet lifted last time, I thought you might have like a biker chain on it.
Oh, no, that was
no,
me.
That's
that
Fred.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant with Fred. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no,
Fred,
I've taken precautions. I'm having safe sex with the wallet. So, hey, we're here for Ward Kovalev, but all the talks about this Mayweather McGregor thing. How much more can we expect the Mayweather number to come down? Because I'm getting real interested in this right now.
Yeah, I think this is, first of all, I'm super excited about this fight. I think people need to realize the difference between a, you know, Showtime or HBO typical weekend event that's not on pay-per-view. Oftentimes, they have two flyweights or, you know, whatever, that are like, you know, this pound for pound, the third and the seventh best fighter. You know, no one that's not a hardcore fan's heard of them. And it, you know, has a certain amount of interest, but very limited. If you're going to get beyond your core fans, it's got to be a spectacle. And those spectacles, it's like the Super Bowl, right? Do people complain and say, oh, the pregame show is too long, or the halftime show is too long, or they're doing this or they're doing that? No, they accept it's a spectacle. It's not, the purists might want to be watching some, you know, crappy college football game on a Saturday afternoon, but this is the Super Bowl. And the idea that UFC or boxing having spectacles, it's really not about who's, you know, oh, what's the chance of this guy winning or that guy winning? Yeah, it's part of it. But what's the key is how many people are interested in it. And to me, this is this Mayweather-McGregor fight's interesting on so many, interesting in so many levels. I mean, the idea of, you know, the different disciplines. Obviously, it's boxing rules, but, you know, we hear about strikers all the time. I know AJ is a expert at the UFC, and I'd love to hear his initial thoughts, but I really feel like the idea of, okay, these strikers, and you hear about all this stuff, it's like, well, really, how good are they as boxers, right? And, yeah, no one doubts at all that if this was an MMA fight, that McGregor, it wouldn't even be a fight, right? But it's a boxing match, and the different disciplines and the amount of general interest there's going to be, you know, and it being in Vegas, I'm super psyched.
Well, my initial thought is Conor McGregor has no chance to win this fight.
All right, so let me push back. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're going to be so skeptical that you just have dead air. Tell us you're ready, that you're going to actually open your ears and be.
I'll listen to it.
Wow, that's so kind of you. So here's my point. Imagine there's an NBA team, it's Golden State, but they're 50% better. Like somehow they get two more top 10 players. So
okay,
in a 7-game series, it's almost impossible that they would lose. Okay? Now, imagine the NBA also said, you know, you have a choice, the opponent of this super Golden State team. You can shoot a full court shot before game one from the far corner. So it's like a crazy hard shot. And if you make it, you win the series. If you miss it, you lose the series. So you could either play the series or take this crazy shot. Now imagine if Golden State, the super team, was just literally unbeatable. The odds were about 1 in 300, let's say, you could beat this team in a 7-game series. If you had a 1% chance of making the crazy full court shot, mathematically, and obviously this is hypothetical and the league wouldn't want this because they want the games played and the TV ratings, but in this hypothetical, it would make more sense to have a 1 in 100 shot than a 1-in-300 shot. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, easy. Now, here's the question. If a team was the worst team in the league that was playing Golden State, but they had one guy who had a 3% chance of making that very unlikely shot, they would have the best chance to beat Golden State. All right, so let me draw the analogy together. If Mayweather fighting him like a normal boxer would is beating Golden State, we've seen it. Now, we can talk about 2 years and age, and maybe that's changed. But as of the last time he fought, he was unbeatable, it would seem. No one would hit him. It's not like, oh, I mean, think about it. And again, you're the expert, but it's not like, oh, it just takes one punch. It's like no one seems to be able to hit the guy with any power punches, right? So it's not like it's going to be some lucky one-punch knockout from a typical fighter, and no one can outpoint him, right? He's undefeated. So it seems like all these guys, you know, Canelo this, oh, he was too young, and all these excuses, you know, Pacquiao was too old, no one could beat him. But if the only way to beat him is some unorthodox, crazy, out-of-left-field punch that might be one out of, or three out of 100, right, 1-in-33 or whatever, couldn't the case be made that McGregor, if that is the only way to beat Mayweather, McGregor has a better chance than a typical fighter?
Well, what we talked about, and we talked about this with Jim Lampley maybe an hour ago, the recipe to beat Floyd Mayweather is to be a pressure fighter, be in his face, put his back against the ropes, and just unload a lot of punches.
And who's ever
done
that?
And that's not how Conor McGregor fights. Conor McGregor fights the same way Floyd Mayweather does. He's a counterpuncher. And again, we discussed this with Jim Lampley. Floyd Mayweather's never even had the slightest hint of trouble with a counterpuncher. And Conor's just not going to be able to present the type of volume. And I guess people think like Conor McGregor is just some sort of brawler, but he's just not. He's not a guy who's going to go in there swinging big hands. He's a counterpuncher himself, and it's stylistically not just the absurdity of a guy trying to play a different sport against the best in the world at it, but the absurdity comes in where he stylistically is just, he's no match for what Floyd Mayweather does. He is like a really, really, really poor man's Floyd Mayweather.
So, first of all, fascinating, right? The whole idea of, oh, you would expect McGregor to be, you know, punching out of, you know, left field and, hey, there's a small chance, and you're saying, well, no, actually, he's a counterpuncher. It's hard to dispute what you're saying because I'm not an expert at that level. But Lampley, obviously, and I know guys that know Lampley that say he is just super knowledge. You know, obviously, he's good on air, but just beyond that, depth of knowledge is great in boxing. But my question is this whole idea of the way to beat Mayweather is pressure. I mean, who's ever done that?
I mean, nobody's really done it successfully.
But who's even done it in a way that made you – like, has there been – when's the last Mayweather fight that you thought, huh, even for a moment, that Mayweather has a – you know, at what point would you have ever taken a plus 200? Like, at any point of any fight, would you have ever taken a plus 200 dog against Mayweather?
There were moments – like you're talking about live betting?
Yeah.
There were moments in the Cotto fight where Cotto was hitting him hard, and I thought maybe if he landed a couple more big shots, he could put him down. And mind you, Miguel Cotto throws harder punches than Conor McGregor can. Miguel Cotto is a world-class puncher. And Conor McGregor is, I mean, for MMA, Conor McGregor is a phenomenal striker, but he's not a world-class boxer.
Interesting, but and
the Maidana fights are that's another good example of guys who tried to pressure fight Mayweather, and he had some bright spot. I mean, I never thought Maidana was good enough to put away Floyd Mayweather, but he did hit him a few times. He did give him some trouble. He had him against the ropes and was hitting him.
You know, the thing about me, it's just so amazing because we talk about like Sugar Ray Leonard, right? I don't remember Sugar Ray Robinson. I did see Raging Bull, though. And great movie. I mean, one of the five best movies of all time. And you know, Duran and the Hitman. And, you know, and it's just like, who has Muhammad Ali, you know, obviously out of the weight division, but who has ever been like, oh, there was that one fight for that one – you know, minute and 20 seconds that he hit him three times. Like, that's the thing we're going back to. I mean, I get, in a weird way, Mayweather, the thing that gets him mainstream attention is what tends to get him scorn from within the, you know, the boxing industry. But, you know, Vegas is the place Joe Louis went to be a greeter, right? So Joe Louis, you know, one of the greatest, some believe the greatest heavyweight of all time. And at the end, you know, the managers took the money, the promoters took the money, no one paid his taxes, and he's broke, living on a stipend, working as a greeter here in Las Vegas, right? And, you know, the old stories, I think, you know, about Sinatra helping him and all that stuff, and, you know, great stories about Sinatra. But here's a guy that broke every rule, doesn't seem to care about the intelligentsia, and I'll say that in quotes, of boxing. And who knows what he's going to do with his money, right? He might lose it all gambling. But the fact that he has hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's just like, why would, you know, and I get it. We can sit and talk about, you know, a crime he committed and all that. And, but like, when has society ever been, isn't that America, in that specifically if you commit a crime and serve your time, that you're supposed to get a second chance? And, you know, again, obviously when it comes to domestic abuse, it's especially sensitive, and I think rightfully so. But and maybe some people just can't separate it. But for those who can, as a boxer and as a businessman, I mean, could the case be made that Mayweather's the greatest businessman boxer ever? And could the case be made he's the greatest boxer ever?
I think both cases can be made. The best boxer ever, I think, is more of a difficult one. I think there's debate to be had about it. But
well, for
no
sure.
One's made more money than
no
Floyd.
One seems
no
to
one's made more
that
money than Floyd.
Because the consensus opinion is Sugar Ray would have beat him, Duran would have beat him, and Hearns would have beat him. I mean, that
but,
amongst
but
the guys.
But no one sold fights like he sells fight. That no one's made the money that he makes, and no one branded themselves the way that he's branded himself. And yeah, so from a business standpoint, I think he's undisputed.
And the idea that he's getting the lion's share of the money, right? Ali obviously was a bigger brand, but he, for whatever limitation, wasn't able to take the reins of the business side. And
right.
and maybe it's just the times, right? Back then it would have been even harder.
But, absolutely.
But AJ, you're an expert at this stuff. Is if we could go back in time, first of all, who do you think was the best fighter between Hearns, Sugar Ray, and Durant?
Gun to head, probably Sugar Ray.
All right. So what's in their prime, what's your odds on Sugar Ray versus Mayweather?
Oh, I'd say Sugar Ray probably -140.
So, you know, but clear favor, but a smidge over 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so, like, how do we know? Like, one of the things that one of our A handicappers was saying during the playoffs is we don't know how good Golden State is because they really haven't been challenged yet. And I think we got a little glimpse of it at the end of game three, you know, where, like, okay, you're down, you know, 6 or 9, and it's like, okay, go. It's like, you win the game. It's like, wow, if you lose that game, how do you win a series, right? Well, obviously, Cleveland wasn't going to win a series. How do we know how good Mayweather is? I mean, have we even seen, you know, 80? Let me ask you this. If Mayweather was 90% as good as he's been, so you shave off 10%, and I know this feels subjective, arbitrary, what's 10%? But shave off a increment, let's say, a clear increment. He's still undefeated, right?
I would say so.
So it's, you know, that's the thing. I love Ali, right? I mean, I grew up.
You know what? You shave that off, maybe he loses that fight to Oscar De La Hoya.
Boy, I watched that, and I'm no expert, but, and I, you know, I was rooting for De La Hoya in that fight, but man, it just felt like, now was De La Hoya was a little past his prime, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. He only had 2 or 3 more fights after that, but that fight, I think, and it was a split decision. I think maybe that was a close enough fight that if you've got 10% less out of Floyd, De La Hoya beats him.
Yeah, but isn't it amazing? Because as much as we want to always make excuses, like Pat, in the last 20 years, within, you know, obviously these weight divisions, there's, you know, what is it? Pacquiao fought in 6 of them, or, you know, because it's every 3 pounds or whatever. But
right.
Is in that range, could the case be made that Pacquiao is the, you know, second or third best fighter of the last 20 years, right? In his prime.
In his prime, yeah.
And it's like we're going to say, oh, he was a little bit older. Well, Floyd was older too, right? So it's like the fact he won – how many times, if there was a time machine and Pacquiao and Mayweather could fight at the exact same age 100 times, you know, just – it's like a computer simulation – Does Pacquiao even win one of those fights?
No. Pacquiao, it's not. It wasn't even close.
So it's
that's why that 10% rule wouldn't work in that fight.
Yeah, yeah. And what do we, AJ, where do we put Canelo now? Meaning that I know that, you know, a guy I really respect on the boxing side said Floyd's a genius. He knows Canelo's, he won't be able to handle him in 3 years, so he's going to take care of him now. Now, I know a lot of people said that, at the, or, you know, different people said that at the time. I mean, but Canelo's ended up being a super elite fighter, right?
Right.
And how close was that fight?
Not really close.
Yeah, I just think that the whole Floyd, you know, obviously there's the legal stuff and the personality gets in the way of what we're really seeing.
All right, well, we just spent the whole segment on that. So that's RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com.
Was it good, Fred?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I enjoyed it. I just
was it good for you, Fred?
I just sat back and let you guys go at it. So, all right, RJ, thanks a lot, man. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
All right, RJ Bell, pregame.com. What do we have here? Do we have anything?
Oh. My friends from Allied Outdoor Solutions. They want you to know that if you want to spend more time outdoors, but you've got an ugly patio or a grayed out pool deck, whatever it may be, maybe you don't enjoy spending that time outdoors. Well, they can help you out with that because they've got carved stone overlay. And what it does is it gives you the look and feel of real stone on your existing surface for way less money. It's trowel hand-carved, custom-colored for your home. It looks great, twice as strong as concrete. Now it stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. If your backyard's currently a blank slate, they'll build it from the ground up. Whether you want a functional concrete patio or you want to go big boy and get the outdoor kitchen and patio cover that you've been dreaming of, they can help you on residential and commercial projects. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself the hassle. Save yourself the expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay to get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.